much work.
He doesn't need his name up in lights. He just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat of the mic. He feels so unlike everybody else, alone in spite of the
Welcome back in the zone, live from the Conway Expo Center. Justin Ankry, Bill Elson, Jamie Gates, who is the president. What is your title?
You have a lot of titles, Justin, but it says Senior Vice President on my business card.
Senior Vice President with the best beard ever in the history of the Conway Chamber, Jamie Gates joining us here.
It's probably true.
You provide the gate to the Conway Chamber, so if people want to get in, you're the gateway to the chamber, my man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know what you're trying to do.
Yeah, failed.
It's wordplay. Sometimes it works.
And sometimes it fails miserably. Yeah. Entertainment Report coming up in a little bit. We are joined back in the studio by another one of my all-time favorites, Nate Olson. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good today.
You really look good. We've actually spent the entire break looking at you on the webcam.
And you've
never looked better.
You had no idea we were doing that, too.
Isn't that creepy?
It is, yes.
You're not getting paid for that, either.
Nate and I are both disappointed about the hose job that our alma mater got last week, but we're trying to get over it. And Phil, of course, is sad here as a Pittsburgh Pirates fan.
Yeah, but you and Nate are Cubs fans.
Yes, it's true. We're used to that's. It's not really sadness, though. It's a low level of expectation that is generally never achieved.
It's an expected sadness. It's a life of sadness.
Yeah, it's like when you expect the, you know, you have bottom floor expectations and a basement delivery, typically, is what you get out of the Cubs. So there is no expectation. Then, of course, Jamie is the most devout Central Arkansas sports fan that I know. And, of course, we're coming off a rough week, so we're trying to bounce back as well. It's just been bad all around. It's time for good things to be happening, my man, in the world of sports.
Good things are happening.
Mm-hmm. A lot of good things are happening here in Conway. I don't know if you heard, Nate. Need to work this into the next edition of Sync, but a $2 billion announcement this morning.
No, I didn't hear that. We'll have to work it in. What is it?
Jamie, tell them all about it.
Well, what we announced this morning was a joint venture between the Conway Development Corp and Jim Wilson & Associates, Montgomery, Alabama, to redevelop more than 150 acres at the site of our current airport. And signature development, it will be Central Landing, a retail restaurant, mixed-use development of up to 750,000 square feet, $90 million project. No big deal.
Good for you guys.
Another day in the life of Conway. Well, come on.
Well, Nate, you're going to have to move your private jet from the old airport to the new airport by next August. So make sure you got that on the schedule.
Sure, I'll get it done.
He keeps a private jet.
You could go halvesies.
That's it. You know, we better go like 1/16 Z's. If we're going to do that. I don't think that's actually not going to work either. Actually, if we went 1/16 C's on the gasoline to get from to and fro on the private jet, almost could do that. Anyway, so Nate, this edition of Sync Weekly is something certainly deeply personal to myself and a lot of folks who knew Ann Pressley, and it is, Jamie Gates, I'm glad you could join us, obviously. We've been talking about a lot of happy things here. This is sort of a sad look back, but a lot of celebration of what was a great life, you know, for Ann Pressley, certainly cut short, in a horrible way that none of us will ever forget. But, Nate, not an easy subject to tackle, and by all accounts, a very well-done job of trying to reflect on her life and where a lot of her close friends are today with, you know, what is going to be the darkest moment for most of them in their lives.
Absolutely. And I have to give credit where it's due. That's Emily Van Zandt is the writer. She's hit two home runs in a row. Got an exclusive interview with Kaylee Hardig, the young girl that beat the brain-eating amoeba last week, and now this story this week. And, you know, we were looking at some things that, you know, on the editorial calendar, looking at some things that we were – some ideas And I thought about Ann, and I thought, you know, this is the 50-year anniversary, and so we talked about it. And I had seen on Facebook Danny Joe Crawford, who was a dear friend of hers, that he posted a birthday party picture that they had in late August. And so we decided to do it, and everybody, all her friends were great. I think there was a lot of stuff in there. Now it's 5 years later that they could talk about that happened then. Some of the things that were said, that how they were very optimistic that she was going to live. It's a tough story, but I think it was one that in the end is uplifting, that she was such a good person, a beautiful person inside and out, that all these people are, their lives are still touched, and they're keeping her memory alive. And we wanted at Sync to help keep her memory alive too by doing this story. And I think it's mission accomplished on all fronts there.
And Jamie and I were talking in the break, and it's hard to believe it was 5 years, and B, we talked about not only how it changed you know your life forever because of your relationship with her, and I know your wife Melissa was probably as close or closer to her than anybody else outside of her, maybe her mother and some of her family members, but it also, I mean, it changed the environment and sort of the way that people did business around Central Arkansas for a while after as well. It was really it was such a huge, you know, just a life changer for a lot of people in a lot of ways. So,
well, it was a shock, and I remember at the time, you know, a lot of the female news anchors were worried. I did some a partnership with Fox 16, and Morgan Adsit and I were covering a game one night, and she said, "Would you please walk me to my car? I'm scared." You know, and that was, you know, I think the whole city was shocked. I knew Ann a little bit in passing, and I'd been in a meeting with her right before that happened, and I walked right in, and I didn't know her that well. She said, "Hey, how are you doing today? Good to see you." Didn't know her that well, but you could tell a very warm person. And so even people that didn't know her that well saw her on television. I mean, it was just something. And I think Danny Joe summed it up best: is what kind of monster would do something like this to this sweet, innocent young woman? And it just it was awful. But her friends have handled it great. And the Gates, you guys have named your child after her, and there's been others that have done that too, and I think that's the biggest testament to somebody's character. If they're going to name their kid after you, they must really care about you a lot.
No, absolutely. You know, Ann was obviously a valuable friend is short. He certainly wasn't a blood relative, but she just played an important role, you know, for Melissa, especially our first year of marriage. You know, Ann was a confidant and a friend who would come up and see her when, you know, you adjust to moving to a new town. And, you know, she was also someone who could challenge you. She could challenge your behavior by her example. You know, she didn't have to confront someone and tell you how to behave. You could watch her and literally feel inspired to treat people more kindly and to hold yourself to a higher standard. And, you know, you could not imagine a better role model for a young girl. And so, you know, not just us, but there's an entire circle of friends and a generation of young girls who carry, you know, her name in some fashion with it. And, you know, it's a credit to Ann's life and to her family and her upbringing and her impact on folks.
Yeah, I mean, I feel very fortunate personally. I mean, it's, you know, to work with somebody like her, and I didn't work with her for a long time. She was actually an intern when I first met her, and I'm like, okay, who is the squirrely blonde that won't be quiet over there? She was somebody that always was sort of the center of attention, but not in a bad way, just because she was so full of energy and so full of happiness and a you know, a person that really, until this day, really never had a bad day. I mean, just the kind of person that always was positive, and if something bad happened to her, and it was like water off a duck's back, it was amazing how she could roll with the punches so well. And to work with somebody like her and to work with somebody like Paul and to lose them both, you know, as former coworkers, two of the best people I've ever known.
Yeah.
It is. It's heartbreaking. It is, especially for her. I mean, to have such a life cut short like that. But anyway, I certainly commend you guys for taking that on, Nate. And I don't know that I would have, if you had asked me how long it's been, I don't know that five would have popped out of my mouth, because I don't. It's hard to believe that it's been that long. It really is. We get caught up in the day to day, and you know, everybody's got families and stuff going on. But it's you know, it's something that I don't think anybody's ever going to forget.
No.
But you also don't really put any context to the fact that it's been 5 years. You know.
Yeah, and Nate, I just want to thank you. You know, but one, for our family, and two, for just that circle of friends, for doing something to, you know, keep that name and, you know, that ideal of how people can be appreciated and behave and the way that they can live their life. And that's what that story was about. And that's what hopefully her message will be about moving forward. So that's an article and a piece of material that we'll treasure and certainly show to our family when they're a little older, old enough to understand.
Title of the story, and you can find it on syncweekly.com, is Finding Acceptance. And, again, I thought you guys did a nice job of going all around on that story and getting different perspectives on it, Nate. So, again, credit to Sync, credit to Emily. So good work on that.
Yeah,
what else are y'all working on and focused on this week?
Well, you know, on kind of a lighter note, and we've got a, you know, that's what we try to do is bring a good mix to this publication. So you've got that kind of gripping story, the emotional story. We've also got a good story, a Q&A. We really, I think, do a pretty good job of picking out some people that are pretty interesting that a lot of people know. There's a guy named Steve Hughes, who's 65, who has run 300 marathons. 240 of those have been after he's been 60 years old. Both of his feet are, I mean, they're beat up beyond repair. He's got a lot of pain. He's got osteoarthritis. He's still plugging away, and he's going to run marathons until the Little Rock one. He's going to retire. He will run one in February in Arizona, and that will be the fourth time that he's run a marathon in 50 states. He's like one of 23 people, I think, that have done that. So that's an interesting, if you're a runner, or even if you just, you know, if you're not, it's an interesting story. The guy's tougher than nails, I'll tell you. He's as tough as any football player out on any field right now out there to run through this kind of pain. So we've got that, and we've also got a story that...
Well, hang on one second on that. Before you move off of that, I was going to say, I don't know if you did this, but I would ask Steve Hughes the same question I would ask Gary Kubiak when he announced that Matt Schaub would be their starter again this week. Why? Why is he running more marathons, Nate? How much is enough, and what keeps him going? What is the reason behind this? I mean, I understand the level of achievement he's gotten to. Why continue if it's causing your body damage?
Well, you know, that's the obvious question. I mean, and I'm like, I know people ask you, like, you know, are you nuts? And he ran two marathons in a walking boot that was too small for him, that he just borrowed off of somebody, and his toe was sticking out, left blood all over the course. So
he's addicted.
That's the lead of the story. His vice isn't alcohol, drugs, food. It's running. You know, and a lot of these people are addicted to that. It's the endorphins, the exercise, being fit, and he definitely is. But I think he's finally figured out after his feet are wrecked that he needs to go ahead and quit. And he said that he's going to go ahead and try to start doing those century ride bicycle races now. Riding those 100-mile races on a bicycle.
That's better for his feet and knees, so he's got that going for him.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Robert Palmer guy myself. I might as well face it. I'm addicted to love, but not to running, big guy. Not for me.
No.
What is that, Phil? What do you got
there? That's the amount of miles that he's running. 200 marathons is 5,240.
300.
300?
Did I do that math right, Nate?
200 since he was 60.
Whatever
you say.
300 total. Yeah. 300 marathons times 26.1.
7,860 miles.
It's the 0.2 that gets you. It's not the 26. It's those last 2/10 of a mile that kill you. How many?
7,860 miles. I mean, you need an oil change after at least 4,000. So he's about two oil changes in.
I mean, that is Forrest Gump stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's what is it from New York to L.A.?
Oh.
It's less than that.
Yeah, hundreds if not dozens of miles.
Yeah. I mean, that's
that's basically what I've run in the last 36 years, a couple dozen miles maybe.
No joke, I'm exhausted doing the math. I cannot imagine the running part. Yes. That's incredible. I like to ride alongside him during a marathon sometime with somebody else driving, drinking a cold brew and rooting him on to victory.
Just boo.
Go, big guy. Go. All right. That's a great story. What else?
Yeah, we've also got a story on the Arkansas Bagel League. I think you guys are familiar with these guys, J.D. Crenshaw and Brian Smith. They said they've come on the buzz. I don't know if it was on your show.
Yeah.
But the two young guys that enjoy Bago, and they've got a promotions company, so they've gone to a couple of clubs or bars in the area and have started a Bago League. They've got one in Jonesboro now. I think they're really on to something. They think they can get 10 to 12 leagues around the state. Probably could support 20 to 30 and then looking maybe at going regionally. And I think they'll get that. They haven't even touched Northwest Arkansas yet, but you go to these football games, whether it's UCA or Arkansas State, and there's tons of people playing Bago, but there's really no competitive outlet for it. Well, now, you know, you've got a dart night, you've got pool night, now you've got Bago night in a bar. And I never thought about playing it inside, but a lot of these places are big enough that you can do it, and they're playing down at Prost.
Bago?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bago's good anywhere, homeboy. Yeah,
they need anybody to call the bag by bag?
Are you kidding me? I play Bago in my bathroom occasionally just for fun. It's a great challenge. It's a great challenge.
I hope that's not a euphemism.
I mean, I'm just saying, Bago's good anywhere. I'm just saying, you can play down your hallway in your
shower.
No, I don't know how big your shower is. Maybe it's a little too small. Yeah, it's good anywhere. But yeah, Prost does do it, and they do. They've done all kinds of fun stuff in their beer pong. Mm-hmm. We've done a number of different things. Yep. I don't know what that was.
That sounded like an elk bugle.
It was an elk bugle.
Wow. You know what? There's actually a big elk bugle business up here in Conway that's looking for employees. So if you're no, okay. I got an official number here now. Scott says, by my calculations, this is on the Keithley Service Company Live Fan Feedback. By my calculations, that dude has run from here to over there a bunch of times.
Yeah.
It's very accurate. Can't argue that. Okay. Eric says, I've been running 3 to 4 miles 4 times a week for the past 2 months. I have no idea how someone can have that blank as a vice. I agree. I read a great story one time that... who's the comedian and sports guy, sports talk guy?
Jay Moore.
And he wrote about how he hates those stupid-faced people that run around with smiles on their faces. And you're jogging thinking, if I take one more step, I'm going to crumble into a heap. And you see people running around, and they're smiling and happy, and, oh, I'm having such a... I don't get that. I've never been that guy. I know I need to run more, and I like how I feel afterwards, but at every step... is more excruciating and terrible than the last, and it drives me crazy to watch people run with a big smile on their face. I want to punch them so bad. I appreciate it, and I'm glad that they're enjoying it. But it's like people that are good at other things. You know, whether you're a great quarterback, like Peyton Manning, clearly that comes easy to him. There are certain things that just come naturally to certain people. Running isn't one of them for me, but I need to do it. It does bug me that I watch people run
for some people
effortlessly.
Dealing with pain is something that they're very good at, and yeah. Kind of. I don't know if
rib injury, no problem. I have a rib injury right now. I'm right here doing this show.
Well, I mean, some. Wow.